Okay. This is really frustrating. Yeah, if you pull it more around. Thanks.
I promise not to pull it.
I'll be good. Thanks. All right. Well, as always, it's a joy to be able to bring the good news of Jesus to you. And today I want to bring to light some things that are in our text, which is the epistle lesson appointed for this Sunday. And it comes to us from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And really, today's message is sort of kind of a part one to next week. They're connected. You can find it on page 1022 of your pew Bibles. It says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous." Well, I'm not necessarily, telling you to go rent this movie right away, especially if you're sensitive, to sacrilegious kind of stuff. I am personally a fan of it, and it's the movie of Monty Python's The Life of Brian. And to just give you a little insight into what the movie is about, it's about this guy named Brian, whose life intersects with the life of Jesus at pivotal events, beginning with his birth, just in the cave next door to Jesus' birth. And so throughout the movie, you see this crisscross happen. And there's this one point where Brian is in the crowd following Jesus, and there are hordes of people, thousands upon thousands of people, and Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount. And the camera angle is, we're back here with Brian, and all the people are in front, and Jesus is way far away. And so you can barely hear him. And he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And of course, they all have English accents. And someone says, "What did he say? I couldn't hear him. What did he say?" And somebody said, "I believe he said, 'Blessed are the cheesemakers.'" And then somebody said, "What's so special about cheesemakers?" To which someone very intellectual added, "Well, you see, he's not talking about specifically cheesemakers, but makers of dairy products in general, you see." I think of that when I read 1 John, because that's going on here, okay? It's going on with our translators, okay? Because when you read 1 John, it's actually pretty simple. It says, and I'll kind of give you the King James Version at first. Everyone who abides in Christ sinneth not. Everybody who abides in him sinneth not. Put it in English. Everyone who abides in him doesn't sin. Well, that's hard to understand. Why just cheesemakers? What does it mean if I abide in him, yet I sin? I must not abide in him. And so what they do is they say, well, what he's actually trying to say is those who practice sin, who continue in sin. But that's not what the text says. And I understand where they're coming from. They're guys, the guys that put these Bibles together are a lot smarter than I am, okay? And they're well-meaning, I get that. And they're taking, the tense of this verb that's used, and they're saying, well, you see, in the Greek, this present tense verb has a sense of ongoing, action. Well, the English has that too, okay? If I say, I swim, that's a present tense verb. I swim, you swim, okay? Does that mean you are actually swimming at the time? Not necessarily. It has an ongoing sense of, at some time in the future, you may see me swimming because I swim, okay? But it's not exactly right to say that I practice swimming, or that's not exactly what it says. What if I said everyone who's made of rock, even little tiny rocks, doesn't swim, okay? If you're made of rock, you don't swim. Well, what am I saying? When you're made of rock, you don't swim. I mean, you sink, right? The point is when it's what you're made of. It's whether or not you're abiding. His focus is on those who abide in Christ. The focus is on abiding. Those, when you abide in Christ, you do not sin. It doesn't mean that you sin part of the time, occasionally. You still sin occasionally. You can abide in Christ and sin occasionally. And that's what people get out of this when they read this. You see, I can abide in Christ and still sin. And God just forgives me. That's a very Lutheran, response. I can abide in Christ and still sin, okay? Because I'm by nature a sinner, okay? They're not understanding the nature of saint and sinner at the same time. When I abide in Christ, I am incapable of sin. He has created in me a new heart. Ezekiel tells us, as prophesying, the day is going to come when I am going to create a new heart in my people. I'm going to give them a new heart and a new spirit. And I'm going to take their heart of stone and I'm going to give them a heart of flesh. This is a heart that trusts in the Lord at all times, not just sometimes. Okay? And I want to say this too. I don't take a lot of comfort in hearing, it's only those who practice sinfulness that are not abiding in Christ. Because I think I practice sinfulness. How many of you play an instrument of some sort? Everybody up here, a few back there. When you're learning an instrument, how often are you supposed to practice? Every day, yeah, every day. How many of you who play an instrument have practiced your instrument every day of your life? Raise your hand. Not even Bob. Not even Bob. And he is, yeah, that's right. How many of you have sinned every day? You look well practiced to me. Every day you sin. What do you call it then? If you sin every day, Is that not practicing sin? I mean, it's more practice than you get at anything else. So there's still a problem there. And so you understand this in the light of simul justus et peccator, and simultaneously saint and sinner. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. We have been given a new heart. When we were baptized into Christ Jesus, he changed us. We are no longer the people that we were. And to continue to live in the flesh, in the sinner part of us, is wrong. We're not abiding in Christ Jesus at that point. It doesn't mean that we are no longer saved. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and made pure. That heart is pure. But we still have our sinful side to us. So we are saint and we are sinner at the same time. Our sinful side never does anything good. It can look good. The Pharisees look good. But they were driven by their sinful natures. The disciples, as they believed in Jesus, were given clean hearts. Do you remember when the disciples first made their confession? It was, spoken by Peter. Jesus said, "Who do you guys say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ. You're the Son of God." And Jesus said, "This didn't come to you by flesh and blood, but the Father." Okay? That's coming from that new heart, in other words. And then not 2 seconds later, Jesus says, "By the way, I have to go, and I'm going to be tortured and put to death." And Peter goes, "No, may it never be." And what does Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan." You're not abiding in that new heart that you've been given. You're back in the flesh. And so what John is telling us is that we need to stay in that new heart. It's a perfect heart. It has been purified. We are pure. Do you understand what? Now put it in the whole big picture that we have been trying to teach you guys. That we are in the midst of a recreation process. Where creation, God's loving creation, went wrong. And God had promised, "I'm going to restore it. I'm going to restore all of creation." And he's made his promises to do so, and he has fulfilled them. But he is starting from the inside out. First is the heart. And he's created a new heart within us. For all who hear the word and who believe, we are given a new heart. And it's not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh that loves and trusts in all things, believes in all things, hopes in all things that he has promised. It believes in the Lord. It believes in his word. It knows that his laws that he has written in our heart are only for our good. And that as we desire to follow them because we know that they are right. And that he's going to make all things work out for the good as we continue to trust him. And so we live in that knowledge and in that faith. But when we go away from it and we start living in our flesh, everything goes wrong. And we complicate our lives. The flesh has nothing to do with God. But our new hearts have everything to do with God. Your heart isn't sort of pure. It is pure. And so the idea that, I can continue to abide in Christ and sin as long as I'm not practicing sin is just a lie. It's wrong. It's misunderstanding what's happening here. You're either in faith or in the flesh. You're either abiding in Christ or you're not. Now, this isn't about, or am I going to go to heaven when I die? You know, if I'm in the flesh at the moment that I sin, does that mean, no, you don't lose the heart that God has created in you. That flesh is going to die and be buried, and the sin along with it. But the glorious thing about the resurrection is that it's going to be raised to new life, a glorified flesh that does not sin. And that new creation, that new heart that he made in me in my baptism as I trusted in him and heard his word and believed his word, that went on to be with the Lord when I died, comes back and is reunited with a new flesh. And I am made perfect. And what does John say? We don't know exactly what we are to be yet. It hasn't happened. But when it does happen, we're going to be like him. We're going to be like Jesus. Because we've been recreated from the inside out. And so John calls us to live in this new life and not to have this cavalier attitude about sin, that as long as I'm not practicing sinfulness, I'm fine. No, you practice sinfulness plenty. Live in the new life that God has given you through faith in Christ Jesus. You see, by his death, he has taken all of your sin upon himself. And he suffered exile from God so that you would never have to. And by his blood, your heart was cleansed from sin so that he could abide there, so that he could dwell there. You have God in you. And later, John is going to say that. He's going to say, no one who's born of God sins. Of course, how do they translate it? No one who's born of God continues to sin. That's wrong. No one who's born of God sins. Why? Because he has God's seed in him. Do you really think that John is saying no one who's born of God sins all the time? They sin a little bit. You can sin just a little bit. God will take a little bit of sin. No. Zero. He cannot abide any sin. It's completely opposite of who he is. And so he's recreated you. He's recreated, he has given you a new heart. He's recreated your dead heart. He has brought it to life in Christ Jesus. You have faith in him and trust in him. You believe in the promises that he's made. And so you don't live a life in the flesh. Paul goes and he talks to us about what the flesh looks like. It's full of lust and greed and homosexuality and it's gossip and slander. You notice how he puts gossip and homosexuality in the same, you know, paragraph? What happens to that sin that belongs in your flesh? It dies. It is going to be destroyed forever in death. Our death, this is why it has no sting for us. Our death is just the first stage in being resurrected into glorious new life in the flesh, a perfect flesh that cannot sin. And whatever sins we struggle with in this flesh, and we all struggle with different ones, whether it's sexual immorality or worry. You know, worry is a sin. It's not trusting in the Lord. Well, it's not that bad. I can keep it quiet from time to time. I don't practice it. it's wrong. We trust in the Lord in our new heart. Abide in that new heart that he has given you. This is what we're called to. This is the life that Christians are called to. To every day abide in the new life instead of this attitude of, you know, I'm just going to live my life the way I am and know that God forgives me. I've told you before, I'm not a fan of religious bumper stickers. Okay. They're usually wrong, and they paint Christians as arrogant for the most part, and so I don't like them, as well-meaning as they may be trying to be. I take that back. There's one that I kind of like. It's one that says, Jesus loves you. Everybody else thinks you're a jerk. I kind of like that one. It doesn't say jerk. It says something much worse, but for church. That one's okay. I saw one not too long ago that said, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. What Bible are you reading? I have been made perfect, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, in God's own righteousness is mine through faith in Christ Jesus. That's perfect. That's because that's all that can live with him. That's all that can abide with him. And he is making me perfect so that I can live with him in the new perfect creation forever. This is what it's about. God recreating his universe that has gone wrong. Because he loved his creation and did not want it to remain condemned. Understand, Jesus, when he came, he said, I didn't come to condemn this world. I came that it might be saved. And that's precisely what he's doing. And he starts with the heart. And everyone who hears the word of the cross and believes the word of the cross and what he has done for us to take our sin away is given a new heart. And it's a perfect heart without sin. And it's in each of you who believes. Now abide in it. Live in it. And when you go back to the flesh, say, get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in lust and greed. I'm not going to live in, you know, arrogance and pride. I'm not going to live in sexual immorality. I'm not going to live in, you know, all of the things that my flesh wants to abide in. I'm going to live in a new life that God has created in me through Christ Jesus. You are a new creation. What you will be, we haven't seen yet. But you can trust that it's coming. Because he's going to resurrect your dead, sinful body for a live, sinless body that will never die. And we will live in the new creation with the Lord.